Seekers, Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Hope you had a great weekend. Did you know that let me tell you why people who watch Fox News Channel are so abysmally stupid and jerkwaddy. Both MSNBC and Fox News devoted more coverage. This is from Think Progress. Devoted more coverage to Anna Nicole Smith 3 weeks after her death than they did to the multiple developments involving the neglect and the conditions at Walter Reed Military Hospital. The most lopsided coverage by far was Fox News, which featured only 10 references to Walter Reed compared to 121 to Anna Nicole. 12 times the coverage on Fox went to Anna Nicole Smith, 12 times as many as Walter Reed. MSNBC featured 84 references to Walter Reed hospital scandal, 84, and 96 to Anna Nicole Smith. CNN, 40 references to Anna Nicole Smith, 53 to Walter Reed. Not much better, but my God, Fox News. You people watch Fox News, you really are scum. You are ignorant, stupid scum. Speaking of ignorant, stupid scum, I got a real rush today. I don't know where I was. You'll pardon the use of that four-letter word. I think I was out with Molly. We went to the playground or someplace. And on the way back, I am listening to Sirius Satellite Radio in the truck, and I hear a report that Dick Cheney has a blood clot in his left leg. A sharp intake of breath. A glance in the rearview mirror. Could it be? Could it be? But no, turns out he will be treated with blood-thinning medication for several months, according to his spokeswoman, Leanne McBride. An ultrasound taken on Vice President Cheney's leg showed the blood clot called a deep venous thrombosis in his left lower leg. Blood clots that form deep in the legs can, and this is a part that caught my interest, can become killers if they break off and float into the lungs. This is called a pulmonary embolism. Pulmonary embolism. Cheney returned to the White House after the medical exam and continued his work day. Ms. McBride said he'll maintain his regular schedule. He feels fine. The spokesman for Cheney's office declined to answer questions about which medicines and blood thinners Cheney uses.
None of your goddamn business!
That sort of thing. In 2005, Mr. Cheney underwent 6 hours of surgery on his legs to repair a kind of aneurysm. Thrombosis. Aneurysm. Clot. Man, those words, just when you couple them with Cheney, they're sort of a fluid musical sound, isn't there? Thrombosis. Cheney. Venous thrombosis. Dick Cheney. Halliburton. Pulmonary embolism. Cheney has had 4 heart attacks, quadruple bypass surgery, 2 artery-clearing angioplasties, and an operation to implant a special pacemaker in his chest that only plays country western music. So like I say, sharp intake of breath. Oh, my God, I'll have a topic to talk about tonight. Who is going to be his successor? Damn. Speaking of things vice presidential, more or less, joining us tomorrow night will be Democratic activist Larry Stempler. He will discuss the website and the efforts at that website of draftgore.com. Is Stempler the one that set it up? He's involved in it. Okay, draftgore.com. If you haven't been there, go. Not Draft Al Gore, draftgore.com. The only one who calls him Al Gore is the filthy, disgusting pig man. Pigman, thrombosis, Limbaugh, venous thrombosis, Limbaugh. embolism, pulmonary, limbal, embolism. There are just certain words and phrases that go together. I swear to God, there are just certain words and phrases that go together. Embolism. Lots of military news to discuss tonight. Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace has upgraded the level of risk our military faces in defending our nation from moderate to significant. Huh? The level of risk our military faces in defending our nation here at home, defending us against an attack, defending us anywhere, because George W. Bush and Embolism Cheney have destroyed our military with a huge assist from Donald Thrombosis Rumsfeld. Don't those names? Thrombosis Rumsfeld. There's something there. Now, that's going to fill the recruiting centers, right? The risk our military faces has moved from moderate to significant. Uh-huh. Stick your head out the window. Hear that stampede sound? Those are people running to sign up to join Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld's, and Peter Pace's military. Worse, Pace noted in his biannual report that the current armed forces not yet deployed are, here's a surprise, not as well trained and not as well equipped as necessary to conduct a war. Oh, Jesus, how could that have happened? Let me guess. They have outsourced it to Halliburton? Huh? They've outsourced Walter Reed to Halliburton? Or, I'm sorry, not to Halliburton. Excuse me, Thrombosis. They have outsourced it to some piggish thug who used to work for Halliburton and went into business for himself because Dick Cheney told him, this is real easy stuff to do. Just form a new company and I'll show you a lot of business, all right? Just don't say the word thrombosis, all right? Isn't that what the right keeps attacking Jack Murtha about? Because he's complaining that our troops aren't sufficiently trained and equipped to be thrown into Bush's meat grinder. And now Peter Pace? Okay, you right-wing pigs. Hey, you Republican snots, you worms, attack Peter Pace. He said the same thing Murtha has said. Huh? Now, speaking of our abused troops, we'll have some clips from the House Oversight Subcommittee's hearing on Walter Reed. It started slow today. Tomorrow, when they go before the Senate, some probably the same two generals. Have you ever seen two horsemen of the apocalypse like these two that sat there today? Is this today's military? These two bland, half-assed, two-star generals sitting there passing the buck back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Oh, and I liked when Waitman turned around and said to the nearly comatose wounded soldier behind him, "Hey, I apologize." Pigs. Pigs. The people who testified today, the victims of George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and Rumsfeld's military, the victims who testified today provided testimony that was extremely disturbing. We have sounds from the brass, the generals in charge, that will curl your toenails. What you will hear is proof, positive, that these sons of bitches care more about corporations than they do our troops. The Bush crime family has privatized everything in the military now. The only thing they haven't privatized yet, and this is coming, is Arlington National Cemetery. You watch. Somebody will put a logo up. When you drive into Arlington National Cemetery, it will have a logo. It'll be called, oh, I don't know, pick a name, Halliburton National Cemetery. How's that? KBR National Cemetery, admission $5,000. And there'll be somebody sitting there when you want to go visit your dead GI who will charge you $10 for parking. We recently learned that a large part of Bush's insane surge plan depends on outsourcing Iraqi security duties to private mercenaries like Blackwater. Oh, they are very successful. I'll tell you what Blackwater's good for. Blackwater's good for shooting villagers in the back in Afghanistan, or beating the Christ out of people in New Orleans after they and southern Mississippi after they have been devastated by a hurricane and they're trying to loot a loaf of bread. Blackwater will step right up and put a whole goddamn clip in them. That's what Blackwater's good for, boys. We've known for years about the no-bid reconstruction contracts in Iraq given Halliburton, with billions of tax dollars illegally funneled into Cheney's pockets and his piggish cohorts. As the war raged on, Iraqis dead, our troops dead, everything going to hell. But even that wasn't enough for this greedy, thrombotic thug. No! He needed to turn the maimed and wounded troops into cash dollars, too! This son of a bitch will sell anything that's not nailed down. He'll sell things that are still breathing. He'll still sell things that are still pumping blood. He'll sell things that have had its legs blown off. He doesn't care! So how does a demon from the ninth ring of hell make a profit from the maimed and bloody veterans he created in this oil war? That's right, our wounded veterans' medical care was outsourced from Walter Reed to IAP, a company owned by former Halliburton executives. Jesus God, what's next, Cheney? A crematorium? Thrombosis.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 23 past the hour. Laura wants me to know that deep vein thromboses, DVTs, that are not associated with immobility, which is, I guess, the usual culprit. If you are of a certain age and are not moving around, your blood can pool and clot and start moving. Anyway, Laura writes, DVTs not associated with immobility are sometimes associated with malignancy. Pancreatic is the biggie. Oh, Lord, don't get my hopes up again. Jesus. I mean, you know, they were raised today to orange, almost went up to red, and then were dashed on the rocks of disappointment. Speaking of Cheney, and I hate to because of all the bats and spiders that start flooding the studio whenever his name is mentioned on the program, but it seems, therefore, after all this news today, yet another of his fetid appendages is trying to rot off his decaying body. It's like his body's trying to get away from his body. I don't know. Maybe it's because his appendages and his organs understand that he's an evil son of a bitch who's been storming around this planet for about the past 1,500 years, just murdering and eating and killing. First, his heart tried to defect over and over, only be subjected to service by a mechanical pacemaker. Then one of his gnarled feet tried to escape a couple of years ago. Remember that? The toes curled under and huge, just talon-like nails grew, and they had to do some immediate surgery just to get his damn shoes on. Now it's his leg. And ironically, the clot, the deep vein thrombosis, formed or broke loose or made its presence known after Cheney addressed the annual VFW Legislative Conference. How's that for karma? Christ, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is. Who knows? But the doctors he went to see, you notice he didn't go to Walter Reed. He went to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Doctors there managed to coerce the leg into remaining attached to Cheney's body, at least for a bit longer. This guy must have been Mary Shelley's inspiration all those years ago. Frankly, why Bethesda? I think they should have taken Cheney for treatment, outpatient treatment at Walter Reed, since he's making so much money off the place. Send him to Building 18. Building 18, it turns out, is almost like Room 101, isn't it? But I know what. You know, open up that vein, go after that clot, and smear a little black, some of that black mold in there that our soldiers who are sitting in there with limbs blown off and half their faces blown away and stress syndromes and psychological problems and mental problems being ignored. Give Cheney some of the black mold. Give Cheney some rats and mice. Never mind, he walks around with rats in his pockets. What an evil man.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Yeah, I ain't gonna take none of your 26 before the hour. I swear to God, Cheney has got to be one of the most evil people ever in this century, or in the last, or in the one before that, to poison the atmosphere. What an evil, sick man. He really, really is. And as far as this statement by Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, this is one hell of a thing. He sent a statement to Congress, and I guess it required, excuse me, to do this. And Peter Pace says the level of risk that the United States military faces now in defending the nation, not in murdering Iraqi civilians or Afghan civilians, no, or each other, but the significant risk is in defending this country. And it's astonishing. It's astonishing. Now, the reason they sent it to Congress is so that Congress will come up with something called a risk mitigation assessment. Or how do we lower the risk? Oh, I don't know. Maybe get our troops out of Iraq? That would probably go a long way, you freaks. So Congress is going to have to come up with a risk mitigation assessment detailing what the Pentagon has got to do to lower the risk and how quickly we can respond to this. Now, You can bet your last yuan that America's potential enemies are as aware of these reports as you and I are. Dick Cheney, this moronic half-wit in the White House, George Bush, and this horrendously inept former Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld, among the three of them, they have destroyed. Utterly and absolutely destroyed our military, destroyed the esprit de corps. They've destroyed and distorted the officer corps. They have driven recruitment into the toilet. They have put our soldiers and our Marines at unconscionable risk. And then when they come back to this country, they treat them like garbage. Now, goddammit, I have to ask again, how much more of this are we going to take? Oh, probably a lot, Mike. Nobody cares. And now we have armed forces that are not as trained and equipped as they would be if these filthy neocons had not already stuck us into two wars, neither of which we have any business being in. If the story that the Bush crime family put out there about what happened in this country September 11th, 2001, if there was any truth to it whatsoever, that is a police action. That requires a police action. It requires small teams going in and finding out who organized that attack on this soil, our soil that killed 3,000 people, if the story is true. And then some sort of move to bringing those people to justice. It requires international cooperation. These evil bastards blunder us into two wars, and now the military readiness of this country is probably in more damaged condition than it has been any time in our history since just prior to World War II. And who's done this? Republicans! You filthy Republicans with your ribbons on the backs of your SUVs! That's who's done it. And I have a lot of respect for Dana Priest, and she's a world-class journalist. She really is. She's done a hell of a job, and she'll probably get a Pulitzer for this. If she doesn't, there's no justice. But what about Mark Benjamin? Mark Benjamin, 2 years ago at Salon.com, he started writing about this issue, trying to get the word out about what was going on with our men and women in the military. Mark Benjamin, Salon.com, he's the one that broke this story. Who paid attention 2 years ago? Nobody. Nobody. Nothing against Dana Priest. But for heaven's sake, is there no way that the Washington Post and Dana Priest and her co-writer now, she has someone else working with, that they couldn't acknowledge Mark Benjamin's efforts at Salon.com 2 years ago? God, I hate mainstream media. I hate it for its arrogance and its ineptitude. And when you do have good writers or reporters or producers in television or the Washington Post or the New York Times, the goodness they do and the astuteness and their professionalism is just washed aside, washed overboard when you realize how much garbage is put out there. His name's Mark Benjamin. He used to work for UPI before it went all crazy moony. Mark Benjamin. Salon.com. Look it up. Go back. Take a look at what the man wrote 2 years ago. Oh, well. In that testimony today, Major General, soon to be retired, General George W. Waitman, the guy who was the chief of the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Waitman. A couple of questions. I'm sure the senators will get to it tomorrow. This is a subcommittee hearing today. This is a warm-up, all right? This is like the four-round exhibition fight before the main event. Tomorrow should be one of the main events. But General Waitman was asked about a contract to manage the medical center that was awarded to a company that had documented troubles fulfilling a contract to deliver ice to victims of Hurricane Katrina. We talked about this several weeks ago. Remember? 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 These sons of bitches couldn't deliver ice! And yet they were given a contract to handle outpatient services for our men and women to come back with arms and legs blown off. Now, how did that happen, huh? Not only is that just horrifying, but the way this company got the contract. Henry Waxman, the chairman of the the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, said at his website, or at the committee's website, said the chairman believes the Walter Reed contract may have pushed dozens of healthcare workers to leave jobs at the troubled medical center, which he says in turn threatened the quality of care for hundreds of military personnel receiving treatment there. When you turn this kind of operation over to private contractors, do you think they give a damn about wounded soldiers? They do not. They give a damn about profit. That's all. Get rid of those $80,000 a year specialists. Bring in some $7.50 an hour helpers. Ah, you bastards. In the letter, Waxman charged that the Army used an unusual process, I love that term, to award a five-year, $120 million contract to manage Walter Reed to a company owned by a former executive of Halliburton. In 2004, the Army determined that Walter Reed's federal employees could operate the medical center more efficiently than this company, IAP, Worldwide Services, which is operated by the former Halliburton executive Al Nethkin. But IAP protested. They said, wait a second, sure the Army can do it cheaper, sure they can do it better, but by God, we know Dick Cheney. So the IAP protested, and the Army folded. And how did they do it? They unilaterally, all by themselves, the Army increased the employees' estimated cost by $7 million, which made the IAP a bid appear cheaper. Jesus God. According to an internal memo written by a senior Walter Reed administrator and obtained by Congressman Waxman, the decision to outsource Walter Reed to this filthy Halliburton Cheney company resulted in Walter Reed, some of Walter Reed's skilled personnel to leave in droves, fearing they would be laid off when the contractor took over. The lack of staffing, therefore, put patient care at risk of mission failure, warned an internal Army memo obtained by Waxman. Mission failure! What was the mission? To provide medical care to our service people coming back from two wars. That was the mission. These evil, rotten bastards. In a prepared statement, IAP spokeswoman Arlene Mellinger said that IAP looks forward to applying its experience and knowledge of facility maintenance to support Walter Reed. See, they're going ahead anyway. They don't care. Hearings, schmearings. Do you think these thugs care what the senators or the House or anybody says? They don't care because they know that Fox News will have 120 episodes of Dead Anna Nicole and 10 about Walter Reed. They don't care. What does it take to remove Cheney and Bush from office? Huh? What does it take?
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Ten before the hour. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I can't remember when I've been so pissed off. Just so angry. Just furious at what's been in the news here the past 72 hours. It's just unbelievable. And then to find out, I mean, who among us knew, huh? Who among us knew that some filthy, fake company like IAP, whatever the hell that means, International Ass Grabbers Production, I don't know what IAP stands for, but I do know this. It's a scam. It's a filthy, degenerate, rip-off company because it has to do with Cheney and Halliburton. And they took over a contract privatizing Walter Reed Hospital, Army Medical Center. This is astonishing. It's astonishing. What is left to be privatized? Arlington National Cemetery. That's about it, isn't it? The Iraqi crematoriums, they're still open, I guess. I'm sure Cheney, that's one of the reasons he was there, to find out how much down, how much a month, to get his claws into that. These people need to be removed from office legally and peacefully, of course, or thrombotically, but somehow. What an outrage. What an outrage. Did you watch the two, there was a specialist, a sergeant, and a woman whose husband was grievously wounded in Iraq. These three people testified before they brought out these junky-ass two-star generals. You know what a two-star general is? Do you know, in a non-combat situation, it's somebody who's risen to his level of incompetence and will stay there. And the woman from the General Accountability Office, whatever the hell that is, they used to be called the GAO.
Let's make it the general.
I'm not busting up on her. It was these filthy Republicans that changed the name of it. Like, Republicans are accountable for anything. They're accountable for nothing. But watching these three, the first three witnesses sit there and testify. And yes, the wife of the injured serviceman broke down and cried. And when you listen to their stories, these three people, a specialist, a sergeant, and a woman whose husband was so badly wounded, he could barely sit behind her, for God's sake. And you listen to these people testify about what they've gone through, and then you start hearing the other horror stories. Oh, my God. So, once again, my little toy rage gets triggered. I don't know how you fight against something like that, short of impeaching these bastards and getting them out of office. Either that or wooden stakes, garlic, huge masses of garlic. We're going to play some of the sound for you after the break coming up. Did you hear about Giuliani? This is amazing to me. If anybody doubts the hypocrisy and the double dealing of Republicans or so-called conservatives, you know, they just had this little cesspool meeting of the Conservative Action Committee, whatever the hell it's called, and they had a straw poll there, and Giuliani came in second behind Mitt Romney. Giuliani, this is the part that just cracks me up. Giuliani's been married three times. He got one, the first marriage annulled because he found out that she was his cousin or something, so he prevailed on the Catholic. You know, Giuliani's father was apparently a hitman or some kind of a dude for the mafia. Of course, you don't want to visit the sins of the fathers on the sons. I understand that. But this guy comes from a real scummy background. 14 years he was married to his second cousin. And then found out he didn't have the church dispensation he needed to marry his second cousin. So he divorced her, right? And then he married his second wife, Hanover. What was her first name? Donna. Donna Hanover. Married her. And then he divorced her. I thought Catholics couldn't get divorced. What's up with that? And he had affairs. And he goes and lives with gay folk. Oh, my God. He lived with gay people when his second old lady kicked him out. And then he started this affair with the TV person, whatever the hell her name is. Who's that one? I don't know. There's so many here, it's hard to keep track of them, right? Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, yeah, he was a Vietnam War era coward. He got a student deferment while at Manhattan College and another while at NYU Law School. Upon graduation from NYU in 1968, he was classified 1A, available for military service. And a year later, he asked a judge to write a letter to his draft board asking to be reclassified 2A because Giuliani was a law clerk. And that was considered an essential employee for the betterment of the republic, while other people were going over and having their names eventually inscribed on that wall in D.C. And Giuliani, see? Giuliani has become the right-wing hero. That's right. He's in favor of abortion. He's in favor of gay rights. He's in favor of this. He's in favor of that. He's a draft-dodging coward. He's a triple married E. He has affairs. He screws around anytime he feels like it. And the right-wingers love it. But they tell the evangelicals out in middle America, over in flyover America, oh no, hey listen, Bill Clinton's a liar. Do you know what Bill Clinton did? Huh? Do you know what him and Monica did over in that closet? Ah, damn. Can you believe that? And the right-wingers just, and the Republicans just don't get it. They just don't get it. Why don't all you people just commit suicide? Really? Because all you're doing is screwing up the Republic for normal people. Why don't you go away? If you don't want to commit suicide, okay, just go away. Giuliani? Oh, my God. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. A couple of quick emails here from Prairie 2 about Cheney on blood thinners. Hey, Mike, does this mean Cheney can only bite Italian fashion models? This just in. Doctors called in for a second opinion. We're shocked to find it wasn't a clot at all, but instead a baby bat. In the third trimester, the birth of the bat is due in May, and a name has already been picked, Coulter. The VP is now accepting gift jars of mosquitoes at his residence. That's from Garrett in Petaluma. You people are really sick. Butter 7. Mike, the neglect and mistreatment of returning vets was dramatically shown in the movie Coming Home with Jane Fonda, John Voight, Bruce Dern, and a wonderful soundtrack. Same story, young people sent by the thousands to kill or die. Those who return are neglected, mistreated, abused, drugged, shut away, and ignored. Everyone should buy, rent, or borrow that movie, Coming Home. Better still, buy it, watch it, then loan it to everyone you know who has children. The answer is not just to increase the budget for medical. The answer is to end this war and avoid future ones. Yes, indeed. And as far as the health care of the vets, one of the things that's coming out here is not just Building 18, not just... the so-called outpatient care that is provided in such a cavalier, don't-give-a-damn manner to people that come back with arms and legs blown off, half their head blown off, psychological trauma so deep they will never, ever get over it. That's just part of the story. The rest of the story is health care for veterans. What happens when they leave Walter Reed? What happens when they go back to their towns and rural areas? Well, where do they get care then? There was a brief moment during the Clinton administration when the Veterans Administration health system was upgraded. Money was fed into it. It was cleaned up. It was made into something that was decent and honorable. And it ended when this pig took over the White House in actually December 12th, 2000. But what happens to veterans is what happens to 47 million other Americans. There is no health care available. You had an arm shot off in Iraq? Oh, well, we're sorry, soldier. Buck up. Health care? Prove to us that your missing arm isn't a pre-existing condition. Prove to us you had that arm when you went into basic. What about the everyday heroes in the United States of America who are trying to raise their children, trying to pay their bills, trying to get by, and can't afford health care because these rapacious, vicious, bloodthirsty, horrific insurance companies don't give a damn any more about civilians than they do about military? So, yeah, our veterans are getting crappy, miserable, horrific treatment. So are most Americans. What's the difference? Okay, you're not 22 years old with an arm blown off. No, you're 58 years old and you need bypass surgery and no one will insure you. Okay? Or you've got children at home, one of whom has a chronic situation, another one has appendicitis. What the hell are you going to do? Lose your house so your children will live. It's not just the military. It's not just the people in Building 18 at Walter Reed, and it's not just the soldiers and Marines and Air Force and Navy people who go home after serving George Bush. I wonder how much more of this we're going to take. I wonder how much more we're going to take. Huh? Anybody got any ideas? How much more? What's it going to take? Every single day brings more revelations about the disgusting mismanagement of the executive branch of government, the utter absolute incompetence, the greed, the murder, the mayhem. Oh, and did you see this? Finally, somebody called, besides me, calls Negroponte a professional killer. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said that Negroponte is a professional killer. Who? He would know, wouldn't he? Huh? We Americans, we don't remember a damn thing about Central America. We don't remember anything about the 80s. 80s? Jesus, wasn't that back in the good old days of Ronald Reagan? What the hell do we know about the 80s? What you should know is that Negroponte was U.S. Ambassador to Honduras from 1981 to 1985, and it was Negroponte who assisted three governments in Central America in setting up death squads. It was Negroponte, one can presume, who went to Iraq as his brief stint as our ambassador there and set up death squads. Negroponte is a professional killer, as Chavez calls him. Oh, God. Associated Press reported on this and says Chavez did not give details. Okay, Associated Press, don't you have any investigative reporters? Are you bastards asleep too? Oh, okay, I know. The people working for you now weren't working for you in 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, and 91. You have no idea of the slaughter that went on in Central America and the people behind it. John Poindexter, Elliot Abrams, Negroponte, Chertoff, Cheney, Rumsfeld. You have no idea, do you? Huh? Associated Press? Nah, hell no. Why should you have any sense of history? I mean, my God, that was 20 years ago. Chavez did not give details. Of course he's a hired killer. Of course he's a professional assassin. Of course he is. Negroponte. Of course he is. What the hell else would he be? All right. I want you to hear some of the testimony. The House Oversight and Government Reforms Subcommittee on National Security and Foreign Affairs. Subcommittee. Henry Waxman is the overall chairman of the committee. This is one of the subcommittees. And they went to Walter Reed today to hold the hearings. The chairman of the subcommittee is John Tierney, Democrat, Massachusetts. Now, this first one is two-star General Waitman, former commander of Walter Reed, describes how he holds himself responsible for the awful treatment of our troops at Walter Reed. Makes you wonder, is he the designated fall guy? He's cashiered. He's out of here. Makes you wonder, since he admits things were terrible there, why he didn't do anything to fix it before he was fired.
I am Major General George Waitman, and I commanded the North Atlantic Regional Medical Command and Walter Reed Army Medical Center from 25 August 2006 until last week. Secretary of Defense Gates, all of our Army leaders, and you have called this a failure of leadership. I agree. I was Walter Reed Commander, and from what we see with some soldiers' living conditions and the administrative challenges we faced in the complex medical board, physical evaluation board processes, it is clear mistakes were made, and I was in charge. We can't fail one of these soldiers or their families, not one, and we did.
Oh, stuff it, soldier. Mistakes were made, and I'm responsible. Yeah, use the passive tense. Mistakes were made. Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Where was I? What was I doing? Oh, I know. I was in combat. No, I wasn't in combat. I know. I was busy overseeing the treatment of our certain. No, I wasn't doing that. I know. I was traveling around the VA making sure our soldiers were getting good. No, I wasn't doing that. Oh, what was I doing? What was I doing? I'm the former commander. I was commander there. I'm not anymore. Because I got fired. My career is over. But what the hell? I can retire on 2 stars. Man, that's going to give me about 70 grand a year, isn't it? I don't give a damn about you people, you little toy members of Congress. None of y'all ever served in the military anyway like I did. I take responsibility. Oh, for God's sake.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Don't you care? 21 past the hour. Back to the hearings today. Subcommittee on National Security and Foreign Affairs. John Tierney, Democrat of Massachusetts, Chairman. We're still with two-star General Waitman here answering Chairman Tierney's questions about how outsourcing contracts led to reduced medical staff and therefore decreased care to our wounded troops. Now, keep in mind, when you hear this answer, that it was outsourced after the Army jiggered the figures and the contract went to a former Halliburton executive. And immediately people knew they were going to be fired, and that's part of the reason that our service members have been given such crappy treatment. Now, in particular, the Army used an unusual non-competitive process to award this 5-year, $120 million contract to manage Walter Reed to IAP Worldwide Services, a company owned by former Halliburton executive. If this doesn't turn your stomach, what will?
It's reported, General Waitman, that in September of 2004, the Army actually determined that the in-house federal workforce at Walter Reed could perform the support services at a lower cost than the bid that was received for the outside contractor, which is IAP Worldwide Services. Despite that, there was an appeal taken, and we've seen no record of why this happened, but apparently the certification of the federal employees was withdrawn. Unilaterally, the employee bid was raised about $7 million, and the determination was reversed in favor of the private company IAP. Can you tell us about that process and what happened there?
No, sir, I cannot. That happened before I came.
As a result of that, A number of people, at least according to this memo, went from about 300 people down to about 60 on February 3 of 2007. Had you seen your personnel decline to that degree?
Sir, not to that degree. They did decline. From a workforce normally of about 190, it declined to close to 100. Did not get down to 60, but did get down to 100.
Oh, well, then, excuse me, General, I didn't mean to ask you the question. Never mind. I believe this is Henry Waxman who asked the next question. He's the overall chairman of this committee. And he questions Waitman about how privatization of care at Walter Reed further injured our troops. Waxman then gets to the heart of the matter about how this privatization of the military by the Bush crime family to enrich corporations like Halliburton is killing our troops, killing our troops, killing our troops, and destroying our armed forces.
Chairman asked about this contracting out. According to the memo that was prepared, that memo warned about the mission failure, in other words, the failure to provide care that Walter Reed was supposed to provide because of the loss of personnel. The memo said that you're short of staff. Contractors taken over, you're short of staff, the mission is threatened, and asked for more staff to be hired. Was more staff hired?
Yes, sir. I think I addressed that previously. We did get permission to hire more staff. Our ability to hire those additional 80 people was not successful in that they knew that the contract was coming up, and if they got hired, it would only be for 4 months. So
out of those, did the memo ask you to hire 80 more?
Yes, sir, I believe it did.
How many did you actually hire?
10, sir.
10?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would raise is we've contracted out so much of this war. We have mercenaries instead of U.S. Military. We have contractors instead of the work that could be done by checking very carefully what kind of job they're doing. And here at Walter Reed, we had contracted out as well. And the result of all this is we are in Iraq overpaying for the work of the contractors, and here we're underserving our military, and something's got to be done about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what has to be done, Congressman Waxman. The Bush crime family has to be removed from office. That's what has to be done. And it has to be done quickly and efficiently. And maybe, sir, with all due respect, you could prevail upon your Republican members in the House and the Senate, your friends, because you folks do hang out together. I know you're a Democrat, and there's an awful lot of Republicans up there, but maybe you could prevail on the patriotism of your Republican cohorts in the Senate so that when the House brings articles of impeachment against these two evil sons of bitches, your compatriots in the Senate, Republicans, We'll realize that the survival of this republic is at stake here, and we'll vote to remove them from office. You think?
Defend our flag and our freedom, and you kept that oath under siege and under fire.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand?
Yeah, he said under siege and under fire. He's a dumbass. He is the most ignorant twit to ever occupy anything above office of county tax assessor. And no offense to county tax assessors, I'm just trying to make a point. Back to the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security and Foreign Affairs today with altogether about six witnesses. Tomorrow will be the Senate. The Senate is conducting hearings tomorrow, Kathy. Senate Armed Services Committee, is that what it is? Okay. All right, in this clip, Republican of Virginia, Tom Davis, questioned the panelists about why they didn't act on the horrible conditions before the Washington Post article was published, as they were certainly aware of the problems before that time, as evidenced by all these internal memos that are now part of the public record. So here we hear from another two-star thug, Kevin Kiley, MD, U.S. Army Surgeon General. Here's a guy who should have his license to practice medicine taken away from him. He is the MedCom commander, and he really passes the buck on this question, saying his TAM told him they'd take care of it. Guess that was code for we'll pass it on to the Halliburton guys.
When I look back at a memorandum of the 12th of October 2006, this is after Walter Reed officials were asked to attend our committee's quarterly briefing. I requested a copy of the Assistant Secretary's analysis and review. It clearly indicates the review teams had concerns with Building 18. Attached to the review is a memo that was signed by Colonel Ronald Hamilton, the commander, that indicates that you, General Waitman, and General Kiley received a copy of this review in October. Do you remember receiving a copy or getting briefed on it?
Yes, sir, I do.
How about you, General?
I believe I did, too, yes, sir.
So it really wasn't the Washington Post. You knew these were problems. This was an ongoing concern, wasn't it?
Yep.
I mean, yes, sir.
Well, yes, sir, and it was not just at Walter Reed. We were concerned about medical holdover operations and medical hold operations at all of our installations.
Oh, what did you do when you saw this report in October? We know what you're doing now after the Post articles. What did you do in October to try to stay ahead of it?
My staff informed me that the Walter Reed staff was working it, that they recognized that there were issues, and that they were taking action.
His team, not Tam, come on, Malloy. His team told him they'd take care of it. His team. Oh, gee, that's right, General. I mean, you're busy doing general stuff, right? Huh? Another Republican, Representative Mike Turner of Ohio, asked some questions of these two thugs about how neither of them could claim they weren't aware of the conditions of Building 18. They just can't. Seems like all General Kiley will say is that it wasn't his job as MedCom commander to do inspections. That's not my department line of answers, was all we got out of Wiley Kiley all day. My staff said they'd take care of it. It's not my department. I'd check with my team. I don't do barracks inspections.
Both of you are saying, with respect to Building 18, that that neither one of you were aware of the conditions of that building. Is that a correct characterization of what you said?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, how did you not know? I mean, General Waitman, this is not that big of a facility. Did you really testify that there are 371 outpatient rooms?
Yes, sir.
What went wrong? How did you two not know that we had something where we had people being housed, not in just that they weren't satisfied, but that it doesn't meet our standards, and yet they were being housed there? General Kiley?
I can't explain that. I've been pointing out I live across the street, but I don't do barracks inspections at Walter Reed in my role as MedCom commander.
Oh, well then, I guess that lets you off the hook, you incompetent bastard. What do you care? You got both your legs, right, General? Representative Mike Turner, Republican, further asked Wiley Kiley how he could use the prosthetics program for amputees at Walter Reed as an example of something that worked and was a success story when a private prosthetics firm from Ohio was asked to make repeated trips at his own expense to care for the soldiers there. Wow, isn't outsourcing to Halliburton great, huh?
One of my constituents, Dennis Clark of Clark & Associates Orthotics and Prosthetics, was contacted in October of 2003 and asked to provide short-term assistance here at Walter Reed. And over the next 18 months, he made weekly trips here at his own expense, staying in hotels at his own expense, shipping prosthetic devices at his own expense over a period of 18 months at great personal sacrifice to himself, his partners, and his company. And I guess the question I have is, how do I go back to Dennis and my neighbor Don Bergen, who made those trips, and say to them that your sacrifice was rewarded by the level of care and the planning that is being provided to veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan today.
My comment about the amputee program and its success was the design of understanding that we were going to have amputees and we were going to have to take care of them.
Shut up!
And their numbers are large, and it takes a long time for them to recover. And as we took care of them, we saw some new developments that have challenged us. I was not aware that we had someone who was coming here and providing services like that outside of a contracted service, because the amputee center at Walter Reed was fully funded. It was part of the Global War on Terrorism budget line that we were given that was fully funded. And I was just not aware of that.
Yeah, it sounds like Tony Snow, doesn't it? You notice this, Truth Seeker? Do you notice? This is cover your ass in great big neon pink flashing letters. Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't aware. No, I don't know. No, what? I'm sorry. I don't know. No, I don't know. No, I don't do barracks inspections. No. Well, I know it was fully funded. Why wasn't it? No, I don't know. I have no idea. Nuh-uh. Not me. All the team took. No, I don't know. I don't know.
One thing I kind of thought was odd, at some point during the testimony, he mentioned that he lived across the street.
Right.
You know, this guy lives across the street. And I, one of the many, many, many jobs I had in my early college years was I worked as a desk clerk at a hotel. And we had about 350 rooms in our hotel. And I guarantee you, everybody who worked at that hotel would have known if there were rats, cockroaches, holes in the ceiling, and black mold, no matter where we lived.
Yeah,
certainly
well,
if we lived across the street. So Walter Reed has 371 beds. That's a mid-sized hotel. You're going to tell me that the head of this organization doesn't know there's rats there?
Well, you know, it all went through Halliburton. Posted at Crooks and Liars today by Nicole Bell. The Democrats fought privatization of Walter Reed. Nicole Bell wrote today, I found this press release by Senator Barbara Mikulski from September of last year that shows the Democrats were concerned about the privatization of Walter Reed and were brushed aside by the Department of Defense and the Army. Remind me again, Nicole writes, who's supporting our troops? And here it is. In a letter today, Senator Barbara Mikulski joined several of her Senate colleagues, including Senator Paul Sarbanes, they're both Democrats, to urge Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Thad Cochran, Republican, and Ranking Member Robert Byrd, Democrat, to preserve language in the House Defense Appropriations Bill that prohibits the U.S. Army from outsourcing 350 jobs at Walter Reed Medical Center. Mikulski said, quote, our federal employees are on the front lines every day working hard for America. These hardworking men and women deserve to be treated fairly and at the very least deserve to have the same rights that contractors do. I will keep fighting to fix the competition process that is shamefully slanted in favor of private contractors, end quote. And then this memo goes on. The Walter Reed employees are scheduled to lose their jobs as a result of an outsourcing contract at the medical center. The House Defense Appropriations Bill includes language that blocks the privatization on the grounds that the bidding process, known as an A-76 privatization review, was unfairly slanted. The contracting out review process not only took more than 6 years and $7 million to complete, but would cost taxpayers another $5 million to implement. In August, Senator Mikulski organized her colleagues to urge Secretary of the Army Francis Harvey to refrain from moving forward with the outsourcing scheduled for the end of August until Congress finished its consideration of the Department of Defense spending bill. The Senate effort was successful, and the Secretary has postponed the move until after Congress completes its work. Well, guess what didn't happen, Truth Seekers? Mikulski went on to say, I am not opposed to privatization, but if it occurs with federal jobs, then it must be legal and fair. If this privatization effort really saved money, I would support it. But because it is so flawed and so unfair, I'm duty-bound to oppose it. It doesn't do justice to our heroes at Walter Reed. And it goes on and on and on and on. Initially, federal employees at Walter Reed won the $120 million contract in 2004. the federal employees. However, the Army's privatization process and review were so lengthy, in violation of the time allowed by law, and so costly that the Army itself tried to cancel the privatization effort, but Department of Defense officials refused its request. That would be Rumsfeld. Earlier this year, over the objections of Walter Reed's deputy garrison commander, the Army reversed its earlier decision for the employees and awarded the work to a contractor, one of Cheney's suck-up buddies from Halliburton. How about that, truth seekers?
He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory, the people would sing.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. Karen in Ventura, California writes in, Mike, considering the outsourcing... this is about the man who visited Walter Reed at his own expense. You heard a Republican congressman from Ohio talking about one of his constituents who owned the prosthetics company, one on his own. Karen writes, considering the outsourcing that you mentioned, IAP, this other company, this man, I did not catch the name of the company or the man, is an American hero for contributing his own time and money for our recovering soldiers. Yeah, and I'm glad Karen emailed in, because I just slid right over that. The fact that there was somebody out there doing that, saying no, he wasn't going to be sucked into the bureaucracy, he was going to try his damnedest to get the job done.
Well, I agree he's a hero, but part of it was he was asked. I mean, Walter Reed solicited him and said, you know, we need your help to come do this, and then he was never compensated.
Right.
So,
well, yeah.
I mean, and he's not saying, you know, give me my money, damn it.
But he did. Yeah, well, he did it for 18 months, though.
Right.
I mean, if you do it for 2 months and then find out you're not going to be paid.
But I just want to make the point that it's even worse than you think, because it's not like he just decided, oh, what the hell, I'm going to go do this for the
troops.
He
was asked to do it.
He was asked to do it, and even then he didn't get compensated.
This insanity of this Bush administration, it just doesn't stop, does it? That's why the only Republicans we ever get, or right wingers we ever get to call this program, are you know, brain dead morons. No Republican or conservative who can think coherently can defend the actions of this administration without at the same time being an America hater. If you love this country, whatever that means, I don't even know what that means anymore, but if you do, our institutions, I guess, is what it means. Maybe it means our streams and mountains. I have no idea. If you love our institutions and what we've tried to be for the past 230 years, then I guess you love America. If you love this country, you cannot at the same time be a Bush-Cheney supporter. You cannot. If you claim to be, you're a filthy liar. You are an absolute hypocritical, filthy liar. Bush and Cheney and their cohorts, like this pig Rumsfeld, have done everything that they possibly can to destroy this republic, utterly and absolutely. I mean, these guys, Osama bin Laden, if such a person exists, could not have found a better partner, better partners in crime and murder and mayhem than these three, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush. If Bin Laden looked the world over, he couldn't have found better partners than these three. Our enemies, I don't care who our enemies are right now, Kim Il crazy in North Korea, or this ex-KGB thug Putin, whoever our enemies are, they could not have found better allies in weakening America and destroying this country than Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush. Are you all aware of that? Are you aware of that, you right-wing pigs that listen to this program, lurk in the darkness? Are you aware of that? And they couldn't have found a better amen chorus to assist them than this filthy Rush Limbaugh, or this filthy Sean Hannity, or this ridiculous jackass Mike Savage, or this piglet Ann Coulter. Are you aware of that, you Republicans? Are you aware of what is being done to our country by your fellow travelers? Are you aware of it? I don't blame you for not calling this program, you gutless, irresponsible jackasses. Man. It's just unbelievable. I can't believe how many times I say that on this program. It's just unbelievable. You know, just every single day. I almost shudder to think what's going to happen with these Senate hearings tomorrow on basically the same topic. Further hearings on wait till they get into the privatization of the war, or the occupation, I should say, the occupation of Iraq. Wait until the Democrats get into hearings about that. Wait until they get into hearings about the firing of federal attorneys, most of whom are Republicans, because these particular federal attorneys, what is it, up to 8 or 10 of them now, refuse to go along with the politics of justice as laid out by these filthy Bush crime family thugs. Wait until the hearings, the Democrats hold the hearings on impeachable offenses that Cheney and Bush have committed one after another without let up. On and on and on. Did you hear this? A White House privacy board. What is a White House privacy board? It's giving its stamp of approval to two of the Bush administration's controversial surveillance programs, electronic eavesdropping and financial tracking. And this White House privacy board says, this doesn't violate citizen civil liberties. After operating, this is what the Associated Press says, after operating mostly in secret for a year, the five-member Privacy and Civil Liberties Board is preparing to release its first report to Congress next week. It's okay. Everything's okay. Isn't this the area where the courts are supposed to make a decision? I wonder if we'll ever recover from this. I wonder, as a nation, as a republic, if we'll ever, ever, ever recover from Bush Cheney. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Excuse me. Jack writes in, good evening, Mike. As I sit here listening to your show tonight, I'm also watching this young man on MSNBC. He lost both his arm and leg in Iraq. This young guy says he really hasn't slept well since the accident, or should I say crime. He says every day he relives the accident over and over in his head. It's quite sad knowing that this young man lost his limbs and probably part of his mind. And for what? Greed and lies. These evil, evil bastards. Justice must prevail, Jack. Yeah, I certainly hear you, Jack. Right before the break, yeah, the something called the White House Privacy Board. Can you imagine that? Says that what Bush is doing does not violate citizen civil liberties. Never mind what the U.S. Constitution says. Eavesdropping electronically and financial tracking. There really is no privacy provision in the U.S. Constitution. That's why the Roe v. Wade people, the people who want to see Roe v. Wade appeal, that's what they hang it on. Well, there is no privacy provision. And Roe v. Wade was about privacy. It wasn't about abortion. It was about privacy. Now, the fact is that the Constitution was handed off 230 years ago to be a document that would change as the society changed. You can say that the Fourth Amendment guarantees privacy without the proper arrest warrants and invasions of those privacies. But here, this organization is called the Privacy and Civil Liberties Board, and it's been operating. I've never heard of it. Have you ever heard of this? The report finds that both the NSA's warrantless eavesdropping program and the Treasury Department's monitoring of banking transactions have sufficient privacy protections. So it's okay. Carol Dinkins, a Houston lawyer and former Reagan administration assistant attorney general who chairs the board, told the Associated Press,
well, we looked at the program, we visited the National Security Agency, and met with the top people all the way down to those doing the hands-on work. And the program is structured and implemented in a way that is properly protective and attentive to civil liberties. End quote.
You see how this works? You see how this works? Huh? White House Privacy Board. Huh? You like that? The 5-member Privacy and Civil Liberties Board. And believe it or not, they have a Democrat on there. This is astonishing. Lanny Davis, former Clinton White House counsel, the only Democrat on the panel. He describes this board's first report to Congress as modest. He said most of the work in the past year was spent being briefed on the administration's surveillance programs. Lanny Davis, former Clinton White House counsel, said, quote, we felt reassured by the checks and balance concerns. Huh? Well, in case you didn't know it, it's there. The Privacy and Civil Liberties Board says that eavesdropping on your private phone calls and your email, and if they want to, I guess, warrantless eavesdropping, they can open your mail, take a look at your bank transactions. It's all okay. Now shut up. Go back to watching Fox News about Ann Nicole's decaying corpse. What'd you tell me the other day, Kathy, in passing? They're going to exhume her body? Somebody wants to exhume her body?
Yeah, I think it was the dead son Daniel's biological father. I need a slide rule and a flow chart. I can't keep these people straight. I don't care, frankly.
I know.
I'm trying to understand why it's news.
All right, we're going to go to your phone calls here, but I want to share with you about Rudy Giuliani. Reggie at TVNewsLies.org sent this to me. Mike, Rudy's personal escapades aside, the man is a horror. If he is ever elected president, Giuliani will make Bush look like a defender of the Constitution. Few people outside of New York City understand how hated and feared this man was after his first two fairly successful years in office. Once entrenched in his job, Giuliani went full speed ahead to prevent lawful demonstrations, arrest innocent people, spy on political activists, close legitimate businesses, target racial minorities, sell public property to corporations, privatize parks, close public hospitals in minority areas, arrest homeless people, block access to City Hall, cut essential social programs, confiscate property without due process, put defendants through the system for non-criminal infractions of obscure laws, or force handicapped mothers into workfare. Jesus. He had an army of 600 lawyers who faithfully defended him in federal and state courts. Fortunately, despite his efforts, including an attempt to control what could be exhibited at one of our most famous art museums, I remember that, I think it was a Brooklyn Art Museum, at BAM, he lost 23 of the 27 lawsuits brought against him. The man was a dictator with a miserable record of dealing with African Americans and Latinos, and was at an all-time low in popularity in New York City until 9/11. Remember also that Giuliani was responsible for the lack of proper communication devices that caused the deaths of so many police and firefighters in the collapsing towers. He also was in charge of getting rid of the evidence at a crime scene known as the Twin Towers by making sure the debris was shipped out of the country within days, and the right wing will forgive him his trespasses and love him. I'm sure they will. Giuliani just sets my teeth on edge. Maybe it's too close to home. I had people like him in my family. I had an Uncle Victorio who reminds me, he's dead now, but he reminds me of Giuliani. Almost looked like him, except my Uncle Vic was weighed about the same as three Giulianis. But just a snotty, arrogant bastard. Yeah, my uncle. All right, we better do some phone calls here. You think, Kathy? I know I should do more phone calls. I really should. But and tomorrow is going to be rough on the phone calls too. It really is, because we're going to have what's his name on is going to be on with us about the draftgore.com website. What's his name? Larry Stempler. Excuse me. He's going to be on first hour right away, right at the beginning. All right. We're also going to be covering the hearings tomorrow. And what's the other thing? I know there's a third thing.
Well, I don't want to promise too much here because I am just one little radio producer, but I'm hoping to have some audio from the, and you know, we got a toddler. But I'm hoping to have some audio from the Senate hearings, the Armed Services Committee on Welfare. And then the Guacamoron was talking all Spanish and stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
To the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and I don't know.
Yeah, I heard some of that. Oh my God.
If nothing else, we'll have it for Friday because it's not going to really be tangential, as he would say, to the topic at hand tomorrow night. But
yeah, but for comic relief, I mean, today we had Cheney's blood clot. You know, tomorrow we should have the Guacamoron talking to, he's talking to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, welcoming them to La Casablanca.
Did he explain to them why his party wants to execute people coming across La Bordero?
No, but he probably talked about those nasty coyotes and people who are stopping them from picking lettuce. I don't know.
Mi casa es su casa. Bienvenidos a la Casa Blanca. Oh,
et tu mama también.
Yeah. All right, well, that's tomorrow night. So let's see if we can squeeze in a couple of phone calls here. I'm very embarrassed, but let's do it anyway. Let's start down here with Tim. We got a break. All right, we'll come back and talk with Tim in L.A. right after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. This is NoVam Radio.
Gana dinero, hagamos gana dinero. Pues es un hombre insincero de una familia muy rica. Pues es un hombre insincero.
Bienvenidos. So many distinguished Hispanic Americans in the Jardín de Rosas. Mi casa es su casa.
Quiero decirle que Bush ha vendido su alma. Gana dinero. Jorge Bush gana dinero.
those who enter the country illegally violate the law.
Radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
21 past the hour. All right, let's go back to, well, we didn't get to him yet. Tim is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tim.
Oh, my God, I am so mad. I am so angered. And no fault of yours, I've actually vomited when I was listening to your show. That was so...
Oh, Jesus, you're giving me way too much caller information there.
I am so sorry, Mike.
That's right, Tim. Way too much information.
But it's so saddening. It's sad. It's depressing. It's so. I just want to scream.
It's so Republican. This is what Republicans do. This is why I think people started to come out of the ether a little bit in this 2006 election, and throw these sons of bitches out of positions of power. I think people are starting to realize that Republicans hate America, they hate religious freedom, they hate women, they hate minorities, of which they are becoming one, they hate Jesus, they hate Jews, mm-hmm. they hate Muslims, they hate everybody. And they cannot govern. No wonder you're throwing up. Who wouldn't?
And I'm Japanese American too, and I guess they hate me.
Oh, too. They hate you. Oh my God. Oh, watch out. You know those camps that they put your grandparents in? Those camps are getting all stiffed up for people who aren't Japanese American.
And you know what's that too, Mike? And I'm gonna be nauseous, but.
Yeah. All right, no more throwing up. No more throwing
up. Okay,
I
probably won't.
All right.
But Progressive Talk Radio in L.A. is dying.
What? And say it again?
Progressive Talk Radio in L.A. is dying.
It's being killed. It's being murdered. It's not dying. That's passive.
Exactly.
It's being murdered.
It's being slaughtered.
Oh, of course.
Help.
Of course. Well, L.A. is a right-wing neo-Nazi city, isn't it?
Shouldn't be.
Well, you know, I'm kidding. I mean, no city in America, with the possible exception of Orlando, is a right wing neo Nazi city. Oh, now I'm going to get phone calls and emails from Orlando. But the reason a progressive talk or liberal talk or democratic talk is being murdered in cities around the country is simply because the media conglomerates that control talk radio are right-wing, whoremongering street bastards. That's
exactly.
Why. And they're not going to allow. Every time I hear Hannity or this filthy, degenerate Limbaugh talking about how the marketplace determines, I just want to, I don't know, I want to beat them up is what I want to do.
Me too. I'll join you.
Because they're just lying. The market doesn't determine a damn thing where it concerns talk radio. What determines are these monstrous corporations that control thousands of radio stations. They determine what you hear.
And I'm sure you heard what happened in L.A. too, correct?
About what?
About what happened at Harrison on the Edge.
Oh yeah, my good friend Harrison got bumped for who? Who did he get bumped for?
Actually, it was for what's the guy's name again?
Schultz.
Yeah, Schultz.
Jawohl, he's for Ed Schultz.
We
sing Heil. Jawohl, we will bring you talk radio.
Exactly. And
I am a liberal. I am a liberal. My name is Ed Schultz. I am a liberal.
You know, I heard that Harrison got canned for that. I am hoping that somehow, some way, Nova M Radio Network can pick up his program. He's got a great show. And
you know what, though?
What?
There's a bunch of us out here in L.A., and I got some people out of Ohio and Indiana to sign a petition. And if it's okay with you, can I give out the website?
Sure, of course. Go ahead.
It's peace. Team.net, P-E-A-C-E, team, T-E-A-M.net, one word.
And what is it?
It is a website to get Harrison back on the air, and it's with Code Pink.
Okay, I think that's a grand idea, and I'm sure Harrison will appreciate it. But let me give you a news flash, Tim.
Yes, please.
Once KTLK let Harrison go, they will never, ever... ever take him back. There can be 30 million signatures. They will never take him back. Now, some other station may see the petition.
Right.
I would love to see Nova M take him, pick up his show.
I would love to, too. Yeah.
That's the only problem. Well, I don't think what people understand is when these media conglomerates make a decision, they don't give a rat's ass how many people sign. They couldn't care less. So it is a monumental waste of time. On the other hand, it usually feels good to the person for whom the petition is being circulated. When I got fired by Air America and 20,000 people signed a petition, it salved the wound a little bit. And maybe, from what the treatment I got from Air America. So we'll see. I got to leave there. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I'm sorry for being sick.
I forgive you. Take care.
We're trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now. I'm coming to reward them.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Robert is calling from Daly City, California. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I've been thinking about this universal health care everybody wants. What we really need is a health care freedom where we have choices that other people around the world in Cuba, Spain, Germany, and Russia, and Mexico have. Scientists have done some incredible work with very simple substances that have no relation to the pharmaceutical petrochemical paradigm for healing. Simple things like oxygen and ozone and things like that have gotten really some very interesting results for people. And I just feel like if we get universal health care, even though it's getting paid for by us through taxes, are we going to have the choices that we would really like to have? And I would like to have some very simple, elegant choices that like a naturopath could oversee and qualified people could handle instead of just being sucked into paying the petrochemical pharmaceutical cartels paying them for whatever they're going to give us. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. And I certainly agree. There should be choices available for people who want to go the naturopathic route. I think one of the reasons we don't do that in this country has to do with our kind of Calvinistic Protestant religious background. We are used to having authority. We're used to having religious authority or government authority. That's why this country is just waiting for a good Nazi leader to come take over, because so many Americans would go along. So many Americans are going along. We want our doctors to tell us what to do rather than to sit down and discuss the issue. We want to take a pill rather than get involved in maybe long-term personal health. So, sure, I agree with everything you're saying. On the other hand, since we are what we are, we still need health care. It would be wonderful if it contains choices, but the pharmaceutical industrial complex is going to fight that, screaming, and the same way they fought the Clinton plan for universal health care. So, go figure.
Here in California, they have four possible treatments for cancer, per se. One of them uses heat, heat up the blood. That raises white blood cells, and it kills certain active ingredients in the blood that are negative. But the paradigm we're experiencing now is one that many people feel came out of Eastern Europe that dealt with disease as evil spirits. And the only way to drive the evil spirit out there is through cutting, burning, and poisoning. And you can see that alive and well in our paradigm today. And if we shifted that into a more organic preventative therapeutic thing and teaching thing. Doctor, the word doctor in, refers to being a teacher. In Germany, for instance, they have to provide you with both a naturopathic solution and an allopathic solution.
Right.
So by law, I don't see anything wrong with that. It's just freedom of enterprise, you see. Why do we have to surrender to monopoly in this country? Everything. I mean, we're locked into the paradigm for our internal combustion engine. You know,
well, I get what you're saying, and you certainly get no argument from me or probably 95% of the people who listen to this program. You make a good point, and I appreciate you checking in, Robert. Take care. We'll talk again about this issue, I'm sure. That's one of the issues we should talk about. I feel like this program has become nothing but a constant, unending, freaked-out harangue against the situation in Iraq brought to us by these pigs in the Bush crime family, and or an unending hysterical harangue against what they've done to our country, these pigs in the Bush crime family. And I feel stuck. I've never felt this stuck in 25 years of talk radio, stuck on the same topic over and over and over again. The criminality of these bastards that run the country, the violation of their oath of office, the fact that they need to be impeached, and then this war, this occupation, this the destruction of our military, the destruction of oversight in this country where it concerns regulatory agencies. I mean, that's about as far as we go. And there's so many things that need to be talked about. There's so many things that... I would love to have more voices on this program. Occasional guests, people who can address these issues. We don't talk about global warming. We don't talk about the thermonuclear threat that's starting to develop again. We don't talk about health care, like the last caller just brought up. Alternative, so-called. I don't call it alternative. It's just part of health care. There's so many topics that are just being pushed off the table by these pigs, these unbelievable, believably inept criminal thugs in the White House. And in a way, I apologize for that. And don't send me emails telling me I don't have to apologize. I'm just saying, I wish that we could move off of these two or three topics that just dominate. Mark is calling from... put him on hold. Back on hold. Let's try to fix that. If we can't get that fixed, we're going to miss Mark. Joe is calling from Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Hey, Joe.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm okay, but I've back to the harangue mode again. I've been nursing an outrage for a decade and a half against Cheney, and I remember a photograph of him on the eve of the first Gulf War. Maybe you remember it. Maybe some of your listeners remember it, but it was so insane. I had to share it with you. It was a picture of him next to a missile.
Yeah.
And on the nose cone, he'd written, "Hey, Saddam, this one's from Dick Cheney." Now, moving ahead about 10, 15 years, Ray McGovern wrote that before that war, the CIA official who used to give President Bush one the daily briefing, before that first Gulf War, they did a study to see what effect bombing the water treatment plants would have on the civilian population, and came to the conclusion that about 500,000 people would die.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if that missile was reserved for Saddam Hussein or it was used to bomb the water treatment plants, one of the first things they bombed in that
part. First, let me tell you that photo is a fake, okay? It's photoshopped. Cheney never squatted down next to a bomb under the wings of an F-18 or whatever the hell that is. So rest assured, that photo is a fake. Now, having said that,
it was put out there for the news services.
No. Trust me, it is a fake. okay? I'm telling you, that photograph of Cheney squatting down, it won a Photoshop contest. You know what Photoshop is?
No.
Okay, Photoshop is a web, well, it's a program that you can get on your computer. You can buy it or download it, that you can just damn near alter any photograph you want. I could, if I have Photoshop, I can take a headshot of you and have you on the moon with Neil Armstrong.
Okay.
In about 40 seconds, all right? So Photoshop, you got to be very careful what you see on the Internet. Internet is a great source of information.
Hey, this was in our plane dealer.
I understand. I don't. It doesn't matter where it was.
Okay.
The picture of Cheney squatting down underneath the wing of that fighter bomber with the missile underneath that says, "Here's the next F-bomb, Pat." That is a fake. Trust me. I can't. Let me move on. Having said that, the other part of what you said is absolutely true. They knew exactly what would happen if they went off after the infrastructure, the electric grids, the water supplies. They knew that hundreds of thousands of people would die, and it was done deliberately. Cheney is a monster. Cheney is a killer. He revels because he understands that he could go any second and probably will. He doesn't give a damn about human life, no human life. And the more he can kill, the more he can make sure die before he does, the more some sort of weird satisfaction it gives him. I've never in my lifetime come across an American like Cheney. There have been other people that way that I'm familiar with from reading historical figures, whether it was Hitler or Stalin or whoever it was, Mao. But this Cheney is he almost makes George Bush look like a sympathetic character. So just trust me on this. The photograph is fake, but the story is true.
Mike, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
That's Mike Ratner from Demons to Saints, Center for Constitutional Rights, is speaking in Cleveland at John Carroll University tomorrow evening, Tuesday at 7:30. And maybe some of the local listeners in Cleveland would want to go hear him.
Super. Sounds good. Joe, thanks for checking in. Always good to hear from you. Take care, okay?
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, sir.
We are living in historic times. We are living in a time of great change. Our leadership and resolve can light the way for others. And having come this far, and in the unfolding of the years, this country has a new friend called Vice President Cheney. Dick is a killer. 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 Dick.
Before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight in Phoenix and answered your calls. Thanks, Ian. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. If you haven't gone to NovaMradio.com yet and signed up for downloads and podcasts, why not? What the hell? Tomorrow night, we'll have a guest, Democratic activist Larry Stempler. We're going to talk for a little while about the website and efforts at draftgore.com. And before Suzanne in LA sends me an email, if you haven't gone there, I love your email, Suzanne, if you haven't gone there and signed the petition, why not? Huh? What you got to lose, right? Draftgore.com. Julie is calling from Sacramento. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, I think. But I used to love to hear about Molly and Kathy. It just heartwarming. I was devastated when you guys were gone out of my life.
Well, we're back.
And I'm so glad. I am a Vietnam era veteran, and I was stationed at Walter Reed while my husband was sent to Vietnam.
I think we've talked before about this.
And the one thing that came out of it was this weekend, my son, he's 37. He missed his dad. His dad was essentially destroyed in Vietnam mentally. And just this weekend, my son was telling me about how his little boy, my grandson, is 8 years old, had told him that he wasn't getting very, you know, food at school. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. But anyway, my son told him he would make him a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And in the morning, my son couldn't wake him up because he just couldn't, you know, he was sleeping so soundly. So he made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, left a little note for him telling them, sorry, son, couldn't wake you up, but love daddy. Mm-hmm. And mommy gave my grandson the note, and he got this great big smile on his face. And the reason I say that is because my son did not have a father from the time that he was born because of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband kill some children because they were booby-trapped. So it was kill them or be killed.
Yes.
And he could never develop any kind of relationship with both of my children. And that is one of the sad things that came out of Vietnam was that, the guys no longer are able to love their children the way they mm-hmm. did or they would have if they had not experienced Vietnam or war.
Yeah.
And when I worked at Walter Reed, it was just the horror, you know, some of the landmines castrated our guys. And that's what the IEDs are doing in Iraq. And, these young men are 18, 19-year-olds, and they're never going to be able to celebrate Valentine's Day. And that, I think, is one of the most catastrophic injuries that, beside the head injuries. But it is just, please, Mike, keep going. And stop Bush from castrating and aborting, whether they're full or partial abortion of our children that we love and had. And have all your listeners call or write their congressional people. And please, this war has got to stop.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Julie, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. And yeah, I guess to the extent that anyone who sorts and sifts through non-mainstream media to that extent, I'm aware of these injuries you're talking about. They're catastrophic. They're unimaginable. And I'm sorry for the experience that you. I feel sorrow for the experience that you and your family had to go through. Carol is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Mike. How can I follow that?
I know.
Heartbreaker.
Yes, it is.
And this is the first time it truly is. I'm stunned by that. I'm a writer in San Francisco, and I write about poverty and homelessness. And I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes listening to her because I see all those veterans out on the street. And I write about them, and I talk to them. And, you know, we put about as much into one fighter jet as we put into affordable housing over the last 3 years.
Isn't that the truth?
They not only end up with jelly for brains, but they end up out in the street because there's no housing for them. And my heart goes out to that lady. I just, I actually had kind of an upbeat thing for you. I caught you at the beginning of your show when you were talking about Cheney and the deep venous thrombosis. And I was walking home listening to you on the radio, and I was thinking, boy, I'm telling you, you heard that old thing about Mark Twain said about obscenity provides a release that's denied even to prayer.
Right.
Yeah, well, right. I'm going to write a story about you because, you know, with the frustration that we all feel about not being able to get rid of these jerks,
You provide a wide array of personal slurs that is so unbelievably satisfying, and you never use any swear words, and you never talk about it, you know, killing anybody.
Well, I do. I do use cuss words. Maybe I just say them so fast you don't hear them, but they're there.
I hear them.
Hey, Carol, I got to go. Thank you.
I'm going to call again. You keep it up. You're so good.
Well, thanks, Carol. I hope you do call again. Take care. Oh, man. Boy, do I feel like I need a shower tonight after watching those hearings today. Oh, my God. It's going to be worse tomorrow. Trust me. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating in the program, however you did that. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio.